Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. On a walk with my dog, Gigi Girl, I passed a house with several small Dodger banners stuck in the grass. But you know how your mind jumps to things? I have been thinking about this sermon and wondering why and how people change, which led me to think about how athletes become part of professional teams and willingly, depending upon their egos, allow coaches to suggest ways for them to change their style of play. And so we heard in today's gospel that two key players change their minds. One son who had said yes to work in the vineyard was a no-show, and the other changed his mind from no to showing up. If we are honest about the past, we know we've all changed our minds about something or someone. Now, professional athletes are just one example of human beings being open to change, willing to change to become better at what they do and for the sake of the team. Now, the instigators for change on a professional team are highly paid coaches. There are coaches for all kinds of sports. Coaches look at their athletes and study ways to change them for the better, as in how a batter swings his bat, or a pitcher winds up to throw the ball. Depending on the sport, coaches study swimming styles, how runners pump their legs and arms, how a football is thrown. A guard uses their arms in basketball. An athlete dribbles a soccer ball or swings a golf club or a tennis racket. You and I are being coached by none other than Jesus Christ through the power and presence of His Spirit. You and I have experienced moments when we change a decision because we were paying attention to the effect of our actions and words on ourselves and others. So why did those two sons reverse what each had said? Did the son who said no notice the effect of disappointment on his father's face? Was it his own internal guidance system, and he didn't have peace? There are so many reasons that cause change as there are people. The ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ affected people from the inside out. During the tense conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders, everyone listening and watching were paying attention, but receiving the vibrations and words at different levels. It is like talking about a common event, such as a car accident or something we saw or heard on the news. It is amazing that what gets repeated is not exactly the same. And we can be standing or sitting right next to the other person. But our filters from the past, our distractions in the present, and our worries about the future are tangled up in the moment we just witnessed. It happened between the two sons. The one who said yes but didn't work. He might have been thinking about plans he had made with friends and without thinking, said, "I'll go." Yet he ended up doing the opposite of his words and maybe without giving it a second thought. That can be at the heart of many problems, not giving some time for discernment. We rush, and we don't give something a second thought. We don't attempt to discern where God is in the moment, where peace is trying to reveal the way forward. And if we haven't given something a second thought, we are also probably not going to notice the disappointment or pain we have caused, and ignore the pain or lack of peace within ourselves. So did the religious leaders really give Jesus their full attention? What were they focused on? Were they protecting their invested egos? We hear in this passage that they were not about to allow any new ideas about salvation into their tight attitude about religion and God. The Spirit of Jesus has a lot of coaching moments to do with us because we too have invested egos. We too get distracted or too busy or too anxious and don't breathe into the moment and stop and pay attention. So those listening to this public exchange between Jesus and the religious leaders would have been anxious to hear how Jesus was going to put it all together. But was there an unfair advantage? They were there to hear Jesus. They knew of John the Baptist, who Jesus was referring to. John was a man of righteousness. His actions and words stirred them in a deeper way than the airtight religious rules the Pharisees guarded. John witnessed righteousness in the face of injustice. Righteousness deals with moral transformation. Righteousness is the right use of grace. It is to say or do the right thing. It does not hide or misuse the truth, but is the truth of love that respects the dignity of every human being. So professional athletes choose to trust the perspectives and authority of the coach, and therefore become willing to change. The authority of Jesus came from the very God of Israel that the religious leaders wanted to keep in a box. But God, or a definition of God, cannot be kept in a box or in a book. God is bigger than any religion, and all are welcome, sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. The intrigue of that moment is actually present today. Jesus invites us into a process of change, of moral transformation, of righteousness, of the right use of grace. And change of any kind is a process. In the words of Neil Donald Walsh, embrace the process and move through it with peace, wisdom, and joy. Use the process and transform it from something you endure to something you engage as a tool of creation, of the most magnificent experience of all time, the fulfillment of your divine self. And your divine self is a positive energy. But moving from negative to positive energy is an effort for change. Professional quarterbacks pore over their quarterback manuals, study the plays and diagrams so when they are in the huddle, they can make a change or describe what they think is the best way forward. Do you ever pore over the Bible? Study a passage in the Bible believing it is describing the best way forward? Today in Psalm 25 that was read earlier, we heard a game plan. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Trust the authority of Jesus Christ to coach you. It is the subtle movement of the Spirit of Jesus within you. Pay attention to when your words and actions feel right and when they do not. Yet, like the religious leaders in the gospel, sometimes we don't understand who or what is right in front of us. We sometimes don't appreciate a new truth and want to stay as we are and keep things the same. So here is a funny story. There was a parishioner who walked up to their pastor and said, Reverend, if God were alive today, God would be shocked at the changes in this church. My friends, God is alive, and the pandemic has forced many changes. What will be the adjustments at work? At school, at churches? And what are the new growth spurts, the changes happening in you? So, are you willing to go now into the vineyard of all that God has planted? Amen.